your short, sharp tips. No, I won't read your lips right now. And baby, hey, you send a shiver down my spine. But do you read my mind, do you? And you're looking pretty suspicious. Probably planning a heist. He's wanting to go to the strippers. It makes him feel all nice.
Cigarette smoking.
A cigarette smoke in your eyes. Watching a stripper.
Smacking a bloke.
Smacking a bloke tonight. Down my spine, but do you read my mind, do you? He's probably got stopped by a panda for speeding on his way there. For my flashing and digital cameras from Taurus in Trafalgar Square.
Cigarette smoke, yeah.
A cigarette smoke in your eyes. Watching a stripper.
Snorting some coke, yeah.
Snorting some coke on birth thighs.
Yes, indeed, it's fun time, fun time.
I'm that kid in the corner. I'm the one that's on my corner. Take a piece of the pie, why not? I'm not Radioactive. The early days Radioactive was set up in July 1992 from a bedroom of a flat in Dublin's North Inner City. The station started with a limited studio and a transmitter with a power of 20 watts, into a homemade half-wave dipole erected on the fire escape. A test broadcast lasted from 3 p.m. till 12 midnight, playing alternative music, with the usual no station identification. Reports were already going around the Dublin radio scene that a new station was on, and doing something different. And we hadn't even said anything yet. Over the next few days we started to talk, identifying the station as Radioactive, and announcing that it was interested in hearing from individuals and groups who had something to say and needed the airspace. There was still only two members, and our first post to the mailing address was from prisoners in Mountjoy, who had lists of requests and liked all the smoke and music. The hours of broadcast were already 6 to 12, which wasn't bad for two DJs and a loop tape machine, 7 days a week. Soon letters from interested DJs and political groups started to come in, and by the end of July, there were about 10 DJs. At the start of August, the new studio was in use with two separate record decks, two tape decks and a microphone. The next 2 months were probably the most exciting time in 1992. In 2 months about 25 DJs joined the station and the energy was electric. 30 individuals who had never been on radio before talking and playing their music 7 days a week all over the city. The station ran smoothly up to Christmas. A new studio was obtained and a party was held to celebrate. It was a great success and plenty of free pints given away. In the new year, the station saw the newly formed government as a threat to the future, even though the Minister of Broadcasting, Michael D. Higgins, was seen to be a liberal lefty. Raid procedures were set up and distributed to all DJs. It was a good security practice, but we were never raided. The new year also saw the setting up of monthly meetings. Attendance was good and meetings not only covered station organization but also station policy and new ideas, particularly concerning raising money. Benefits became a new feature to the station, with loads of bands offering their services. This was an important source of finance, particularly since the station has a policy of deliberately not advertising commercial products or commercial events. It was also a good way of offering the community affordable nights out and at the same time recruiting new DJs. Around February, the local and national press began writing about the station in a positive light. It culminated in a two-page interview in Hot Press, which boosted the morale of everyone involved in the station. By July 1993, the station was running at full strength with a new 100-watt transmitter, and the broadcast schedule 5 p.m. to 3 a.m. 7 days a week gave room for 50 DJs. To our knowledge, there was no other free radio station this big in Europe. On the 12th of July, a hoax raid occurred. To our knowledge, this was the real thing. So the transmitter was thrown out the window 4 floors down, but amazingly, the transmitter survived the fall and we were back on air within a few hours when we had calmed down. The Gardaí did call once inquiring about a radio station operating in the building. Although it was a flying visit, it was enough to keep us on our toes, and the transmitter took another flying visit into next door's garden. Helped by Dublin Corporation, who condemned the building as a fire hazard, it became clear that Radioactive was in need of a new home. Fortunately, a suitable premises was found. Transmission power has decreased and the signal distance has lowered, but we can be heard all over Dublin city center. We now use a 100-watt transmitter loading into a folded dipole antenna, which is erected vertically. It has 3 decibel gain, which gives an ERP, effective radiated power, of 300 watts, which gives us a broadcast radius of about 10 miles, but with a few pockets of bad reception because the antenna is only 10 meters off the ground. The signal is also in mono because the stereo signal increases our bandwidth but decreases our signal distance. Our studio is fairly common of Dublin Pirates, a 10-channel mixing desk with a sub-mixer to handle 4 extra mix for interviews. We have 2 turntables for the techno DJs and 2 CD players for the rock DJs. We also have 2 cassette decks, one capable of recording shows, and a Fathom tuner to monitor the output. Running a station like Radioactive can be sometimes crazy and on the edge. Sometimes we take it for granted, until you visit another city and switch on the radio and hear fuck all freedom and shit music. It gives inspiration and reminds us of the importance of Radioactive in the fight for free speech and freedom of information in Dublin. Radioactive is not a political movement like other left-wing and anarchist groups. We don't have any manifestos or policies, just ordinary people saying what they want and feel. We do have anarchists, socialists, feminists, gay groups and environmentalists and many more head cases who talk about their views and news. Most DJs just want to play their music political statement in itself. That's the story so far. We all look forward to more years of free radio in Dublin and we invite you, the public, to join the Radioactive Collective and keep radio free for Dublin. Keep fighting for free radio. Radioactive Collective, Dublin, Ireland.
Frightening way it can help. help you let out what you're dying to say. Express what's inside in a momentary rage. From normal suppression, it makes a good change. Should not be the factors that tell us apart from the everyday actors. Live out the roles they were given to play. Suppress all their feelings, they're trying to say that they love it. It's beautiful, it tears them apart. Or they hate it, it's a bastard. They don't know where to start. Try opening your mind and see what falls out. It's really amazing if you don't think about it. Just go on instinct, it's spontaneity. Try reality stop number 35. Queuing for miles to watch you survive. Freedom of conscience keeps you alive. Keeps you alive. It keeps me alive. There's not many people who like the idea of a life without freedom, and they all live in fear. Uplifting the mind, it's a mouth that they got. They say that they know who they are, but they're not. They're all individuals under the skin. All of us are told that no one can win. But winners created through money, not skill. It's torturous, sick, it's even making me ill. It runs off on me, you can tell by these songs. But I went the other way, I think it's wrong. Oh, but it's all too much, it's all out of touch. You're telling me, I can hear you, you see. I can see you can hear, but you cannot believe. Cause your concept of life lies in envy and greed. But just cause you want something, don't mean you need. If you can hear and be conscious, the rest comes for free. It's a free, it's a face, it's this life, it's a dream. And when you wake up, you will see what I mean.
Resisting the Lure of the Freeman Movement date. Mon, 20,111,1711, 47. The last few years have seen a significant growth in the Freeman of the Land movement, increasingly. Its voice is being heard at environmental and other anarchist-based protests and events, from the various UK climate camps to Rossport Solidarity Camp. Nebulous in its nature, its promise of ways of claiming back power from the state is clearly seductive. Indeed, on a superficial level, it even looks quite like anarchism in action. The aims of the Freeman movement is to use a particular interpretation of the legal system against the government in the name of gaining back freedoms and advantages. Its mixture of family, moral conservatism and individualism has given it the appearance of an apolitical movement that can easily hook up with both the left and right. So while you can find the Freeman at protest camps, where its apparent anti-government stance will fall on fertile ground, you can just as easily find them being supported by right-wing groups with racist agendas, whose critique of government is more it does not represent their own jaundiced views. As I will hopefully show, the Freeman agenda is already falling into the sort of bastardized political thinking that gave rise to the likes of anarcho-nationalism. If anything, what it is individualist libertarianism, and as such acceptance of this movement needs to be challenged by anarchists. Origins: the Freeman One are a movement in the sense that they have a set of ideas that are promoted and followed in a way that amounts to a belief system. Their origins can be traced to the US-based redemption movement, which has since developed into the sovereign citizens movement too. As such, it is rooted in right-wing, white supremacist groups, whose anti-government stance is variously based on anti-Semitism, anti-tax and appeals to Thomas Jefferson's quote that the government which governs best is the government that governs least. Much of the justification for their stance, in the US, comes from conspiracy theories of all kinds, many of which allege Jewish control of government and corporations or secret plots to alienate rights. Those who have been following the Tea Party movement will recognize many of the same sentiments. For more information on its origins, see the report by the Southern Law Center. 3. As the Freeman movement evolved, both in the US and as it crossed the Atlantic, these origins have been somewhat forgotten in many places. For instance, the biggest set of followers of the movement in the US is drawn from poor African Americans. However, it is clear that much of the ideological baggage of its origins remains in the texts and attitudes of those pushing this movement's agenda. In particular, it has preserved an evangelical Christian worldview with a patriarchal outlook. Often this is focused around the inviolability of the family. Other materials focus on the tyrannical nanny state for a phrase more commonly associated with right-wing commentators, crossing the Atlantic given the emphasis on legal rights. The movement's basic ideas have successfully made the jump to the UK and ERA, both of whose legal systems are grounded in the same Anglo-Saxon model as the US. However, in doing so, it has shed a little of its baggage and adapted to the different conditions. It has also resulted in the underlying ideology becoming even more obscured, allowing it more traction among the left-wing. Albeit it retains followers among those of a right-wing libertarian bias. In this article I will focus on the Irish and British variations. The Freeman in theory. For convenience I shall cite the work of Prof. John Kersey of the Libertarian Alliance, who attempts to draw out the common principles shared by most in the movement. 5. The common law of England and Wales is universally applicable to those people, natural persons, within that jurisdiction. A natural person is endowed with a number of inalienable, God-given rights. That natural person is referred to as a freeman on the land. By contrast, civil or statute law, the majority of which is considerably more recent in origin, is not universally applicable but instead, because of its commercial basis, in the law of the sea, rests upon a contract between two parties, the first party being the state, and the second party being the legal fiction representing a given individual, the instrument that is held to represent a given individual entering into such a contract. With the state is a birth certificate. The validity of such a contract is questionable because the contract is represented by a birth certificate is entered into between a minor, who cannot validly contract, and the state, and because consent is therefore assumed rather than established, it follows that if the contract is deemed void, it may be possible to separate the natural person, common law, from the legal fiction, civil law. As a result, whereas the birth certificate, as a piece of paper, is evidence of the legal fiction contracting with the state, that birth certificate is not the same as the natural person represented by the living individual. In Ireland, a key text is the Freeman Guide, which was produced for the 2011 Freeman Festival, Tairneáisean, in Cobh, Sioux. It reflects much of the above concepts, applying an anarchist critique of underlying ideology, while most campaigns have critiques of the legal system and of rights to various degrees, depending on their political outlook. Freeman documents tend to be focused on how this can be used to the advantage of the individual. Indeed, much of the material produced by the Freeman movement covers how to challenge the government, agencies, to assert rights to not pay taxes and fines, to maintain the right to private property against intrusion by the state. Much of this is based on the fact that the legal system gives words different definitions from everyday usage, for example, peaceful. However, I will step back from this to look at the underlying ideology. Anarchism is about creating a society without a state. The Freemen are about resisting that state, but they do not make calls for its abolishment. It is a subtle but important difference that gives rise to different practices. The Freeman depends on the notion of rights, a problematic concept in itself, and in doing so, ties itself tighter to the system that it opposes. This is why there is so much focus on reinterpreting the law rather than recognizing that it is the concept of the law that is the problem. This is something that comes up again and again. Laws, states and rights are all products of the Enlightenment, the era of political development over the 18th and 19th centuries that gave us representative democracy, the modern state, nationalism and the liberal marketplace/capitalism. Thus, behind notions such as rights are ideological assumptions that are not necessarily in accordance with anarchism, something we should be very wary of. Laws and rights are not standalone creations, but reflect the dominant ideology, shaped by political and intellectual elites. There is no right that is not be taken away, no law that cannot be changed. Laws need states to grant, sustain and enforce them. And in turn states use them to justify their continuing existence. Rights are social constructs, not universal principles, and as such they are produced by communities. This can be done by a collective discussion or imposed by a minority who hold power. Neither rights or laws are enforceable by individuals, but require a larger authority or community to impose or validate through its principles of justice, where the anarchists realize that rights and laws are only valid where there has been a collective discussion and agreement with them. Most other political ideologies treat them as a given, as something from the past that cannot be changed nor questioned. It is this trap of conservatism that anarchism seeks to challenge and the Freeman fall into. The way of the Freeman is to appeal to natural or common law. Natural law is an appeal to God, or some other higher spiritual moral authority that stands above all humanity. This is one of the places where the movement betrays its origins. Anarchism does not recognize this higher authority, or that there is a natural law above all others. The morality of the anarchist is not about appealing to another authority but defining social relationships in the here and now, in solidarity and mutual aid as the situation requires, not as an imposed notion dictates. Then there is the problem of whose natural law, as J.S. Mill argued over a century ago. 7. It is a phrase without meaning, open to every interpretation possible, or so vague as to be useless. The Freeman Guide sums it up as harm none, yet, for others it could just as easily be the law of red and tooth and claw, that is, survival of the fittest and all the dubious patriarchal baggage that comes with that phrase. The other problem with common law or natural law is that they are purely reflections of the dominant ideology, in the same way that common sense often is. What we accept in day-to-day life is the unacknowledged effect of liberal ideology, so commonplace, it is effectively invisible, just as motorways are the banal structures of modern capitalism. Again, the anarchist challenges the various assumptions of modern society and seeks to uncover the hidden oppressions. the Freeman movement has no such tools to carry out this analysis and so, Farr is simply repeating them. This is further enforced by the focus on individualist politics. Common law is a term used inconsistently across the texts. For some it is interchangeable with natural law. For others it refers to the legal system. What the latter ignores is that these did not simply appear but are the creations of government, whether of kings or the modern state, and their legal appointees, the judiciary, and in turn are based on property rights and norms of behavior that are imposed by elites, with all their inherent biases. The confusion is further compounded because to get around this some freemen try to rely on the older legal systems, such as, in Ireland, the Brehon law system which existed prior to the English conquest. 8. Ultimately, it is an appeal to history and the structures it has created over time. It looks backwards rather than forwards to the reshaping of society that anarchism desires. As anarchists we want to change the basis of social relationships according to our needs in the here and now, not look to the ossified past. Any law is an act of violence and coercion. It is imposed by others, from above. It is not the creation by consent that anarchism seeks. If there is to be law, it must be based on the autonomy of communities to create it themselves according to their needs, and not on control of territory and hierarchies, or requiring the enforcement of states. Law should be a conscious creation of rules the community agrees to and can change. The only authority to appeal to is the authority of the individuals coming together to create their own community, something perpetually renewable and ever-changing. B. Property rights. Private property is another key concept underlying the Freeman movement, replicating a key foundation of the modern state. Much of the Anglo-Saxon legal model is based on property rights, encapsulated in the saying, "An Englishman's home is his castle." It is also part of the foundations of the modern capitalist system. A number of studies showing how the modern state developed to protect the rights over property that capitalism required. The Freeman movement does not challenge this. Using property in its narrower sense, the Freeman movement is quick to assert the right to private property, whether land or the house, identified interchangeably with the home. It does not question how this land was acquired or its distribution. It does not matter in the Freeman ideology whether this land is more than is needed by a family or individual. Absolute entitlement to it is what matters. All this assumes that the right to own land is a given, when in fact these concepts of ownership have been shaped by capitalism and the modern state. This is antithetical to anarchist theory, where land and property are resources to be held in trust by the community. If there is to be a head-on clash between the movements, it is likely to be found here. C. Libertarian or libertarian communism. One definition of anarchism is libertarian communism. It is useful to return to this as it points out probably the single biggest difference in the ideologies. The Freeman movement is all about the primacy of the individual, or at a push, the family. While some Freemen might espouse mutual aid, this is secondary, left to the individuals to decide, rather than being a central principle. Libertarianism puts the individual at the heart of its political analysis, rather than the community or collective. This puts it close to the political ideology of capitalism and the liberal state, which seeks an atomized public in which the only arbitrator of values is the state or market. Anarchism rejects this approach through its analysis of power. The emphasis on personal ownership and absolute right over land owned is also dangerous. It grants too much power to the individual to do as they want without any concern for the consequences. While many of those espousing the philosophy on the left will have an environmental bent, there are no mechanisms within Freeman ideology to stop those who own land from exploiting it or abusing it. There is nothing to prevent someone from drilling for oil or extracting all the water from an aquifer, because there is no way of challenging their right to do so, without appealing to a greater authority, such as the state. D. The Freeman is a patriarchal movement. It is unclear why so much of the language and approach of the Freeman movement remains patriarchal in nature. For example, the focus on the family and the Irish texts, and of a Judeo-Christian concept of God betrays this inherent conservatism. I would suggest that this comes from the libertarian focus on the individual rather than social relationships in general, a problem not just of the Freeman movement but something to be found in many anarchist groups that have failed to step up and recognize how patriarchal power is repeated in our everyday actions. For those that have come to us through the Freeman movement, there is even less awareness of these issues. For instance, there is much emphasis within the Irish form of the movement, albeit not replicated in the UK, on section 41.1 of the Irish Constitution, the state recognizes the family as the natural primary and fundamental unit group of society, and as a moral institution possessing inalienable and imprescriptible rights, antecedent and superior to all positive law. The state, therefore, guarantees to protect the family in its constitution and authority, as the necessary basis of social order and as indispensable to the welfare of the nation and the state. What is outlined in the Irish Constitution and adopted widely by the Freeman movement is a very traditional view of the family. The danger of this narrative around the family has been the subject of much criticism from feminist and queer movements. An anarchist critique of this should be fairly obvious, not just of the conservatism, but the emphasis on the family as opposed to the community. Given its attitudes to land ownership, the Freeman movement will struggle to address this concept. The intermingling of the Freeman movement and anarchist movements thus has the potential to undo much work that within the anarchist movement around patriarchal behavior. Summary: this has been a very brief overview of the Freeman movement that has tried to capture, with broad strokes, its nature and possible responses. There is room for much more work, including a more in-depth analysis of the various flaws in the approach to the law. The greatest danger, however, is allowing a movement to develop within anarchist circles that ignores the principle of mutual aid and implicitly promotes private ownership of resources, that by granting absolute right to individuals gives them the ability to ignore their responsibilities to the wider community and ecology that sustains them. In more traditional terms, the movement is one all about negative freedoms, ignoring positive freedom as a concept. It should be said that many of the criticisms of the Freeman movement are symptomatic of a wider problem within anarchism, its troubled relationship with the dominant ideology of liberalism and patriarchy, which we absorb from the moment we are born. The allure of the Freeman movement is very real, and this should be acknowledged because, in part, there is a potential within it. It would be a shame if all the ideas it has managed to uncover were lost. The problem with the Freeman movement is that it needs a political depth to it. In some ways, it does not go far enough. In others, it goes in the wrong direction altogether. In talking to people involved, I get the impression that they are excited by the space to challenge the status quo that it gives them. This is, for the most part, a good thing, but anarchists need to be challenging them in turn on all their other assumptions, to point out that it is not an end in itself, that community, land ownership and language are just as important issues, that resisting the state through challenging its laws is only part of the wider struggle. Thanks to Tommy, Sam, Kath and Sophie for discussions and comments.
ridiculous amounts of money which have just been wasted. That's the subject of tomorrow's show. I'm on ridiculous amounts of money which have just been wasted. That's the subject of tomorrow's show. I'm on ridiculous amounts of money which have just been wasted. That's the subject of tomorrow's show.
I used to be a punk, I used to have a mohawk up to here. I used to be a punk, give us a soapy flag in there. I used to be a punk, what's your favourite pistol song? I used to be a punk, do you know your man from the Paranoid Visions?
My flag in there. He used to be a punk. Anarchy was favorite pistol song. He used to be a punk. Now he's fucking dead.
Sting me through my I remember the time. Banging and shouting like a kid gone wrong. Of course, it was all your fault, but I'm better now. Blam! That's where I kicked her in the head, that is. I remember the time. Banging and shouting. Banging and shouting, that's all I know, but I'm better now. I only take it out on housewives now, I do. Banging and shouting, banging and shouting, that's all I've known since I've known you. Two mental cases together, imagine it, what a life, eh? I remember the time. Banging and shouting like a kid gone wrong. Of course it was all your fault, but I'm better now. Blam, as well kicked her in the head, that is. Banging and shouting, that's all I've known since I've known you. Banging and shouting, that's all I've known since I've known you. Banging and shouting, that's all I've known since I've known you. Banging and shouting, that's all I've known since I've known you. Banging and shouting, that's the only thing I've known since I've known you. Banging and shouting, that's all I've known since I've known you.
I just so wanna be a woman. There were two Librons set on a hill, and a wall always exited to the easy gates. Exits are 2 years to be perfect. The Muggins dressing as soldats, Nelson and Timor, Tolstoy and Chechnya. You will reflect on waste out you. To 2 years. To be perfect. To the lift, back to the GBL.